So I'm going to get into Jeremiah this morning. I actually wanted a big pot of clay here this morning because I wanted to have fun, and I couldn't organize that. But Jeremiah 18, and you would know this portion of scripture. You probably have read it a couple of times, and just want to look at what the Lord is saying to us this morning as we leave the stuff behind and step into what God has got for us. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord: arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel, and as it seemed good to the potter to do. Now, there's one of the other translations that said, you know, when the clay kind of spoiled, it says the potter actually took it and he crushed it. You know, he kind of just reworked it and it slapped it back onto that wheel to reform it. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you and I would know that, you know, sometimes it's difficult when the potter gets into your clay. When he starts working at you. It's fine if he does that with other people, but then he gets into my life. And as I read this, you know, I appreciate Jeremiah hearing the voice of the Lord, but the first thing Jeremiah himself had to do was actually obey. You know, you get up one morning and God says, do you go down to the potter's house? And he gets up and he goes there. Now, pottery, who have you done pottery? A select few. Okay, that's why I wanted clay here this morning. I thought we could play with clay. I'm actually quite scared because if you asked me to make something out of clay, I was thinking before, and oh, what will I make that's not going to reveal my creative dysfunction or something. So I thought a mug. I'm not sure I would have pulled it off. But then you would have people like Lorette and Jemuel that will, you know, in like 5 minutes create this art pieces that we can sell in the foyer for. If we play Pictionary and I draw anything now, it's not Pictionary that's funny anymore, it's my drawings. And they have no clue what I'm drawing. But put me next in the garage, man. Ask me to make something. Okay, that's when I come into my own. But there's certain things. Oh, so I actually thought maybe I should go do some pottery. Just see if I can. Yellow smile. I'll take you with me so we can see what happens when we do it. Yeah, Peter, we'll do it, but Yere help us. And then in verse 5, the Lord continued, or the scripture continues, he says, then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter has done, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And as I've been reading this and I've been meditating on this scripture, just, you know, even in just our worship this morning, there's so much that correlates with this. Sometimes we hang on to our past and we cling to the things that's been, and we don't allow the potter to do what he wants in our lives. And it, I mean, if you read Israel's history, I'm so grateful for them because they depict so often the way we interact with God, that, you know, we journey with God and then stuff happens and we kind of take this left turn and we kind of slightly walk away. And you know the analogy that half a degree off, if you start your journey half a degree off, you miss it by miles. And for each one of us as we sit here this morning, you know, is if we don't yield to the potter's hand, to his working, we might miss entirely what he has planned for us. Now, your fate, your future is still somewhat kind of waiting to be written, isn't it? We are here at this point, you know, there's so much that has happened to this stage, but there's a lot that's undetermined going forward from here. Yes, you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord of Savior, and it's been an amazing journey, and you've met Him, and He's done so much in your life. But yet, I've seen in my life so many Christians, because of the things of this world, choose to take the half degree off. And later, you see them, and, you know, I have this, the way I know someone that I don't know where they are now. You see, how we respond to the potter when he crushes the clay, when he wants to remake it, determines a lot. Determines a lot in my future. When life happens and the potter wants to get into my clay and reform it and remake it, and if I in that moment resist it and reject it, it can change the whole outlook of my life from that point on. The fact is, the potter can make you into anything that he wants. And if you've been through that, and if you've experienced that, and maybe there's someone listening online that's been through this, but if that's you, then it's not too late. You know, and I think as we journey through life, we are okay now, but I think it's good to take heed that maybe, you know, when I face something in the future, that I will allow the potter to work within my life. One thing is for sure, that God desires the best for us. But choosing to disobey Him may lead to disaster, may lead us on a different path. And we see this in as we continue reading Jeremiah 18, and I want to encourage you maybe just to go read Jeremiah 17 and 18 for yourself. But in verse 7 he says this: if I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, but then that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I have planned. Verse 9, and if I announce that I will plant and build up a certain nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless it as I would. You know, saints, I think we sometimes lose sight of our own actions, how we respond to certain circumstances. I mean, if you look, generally speaking, at the response of the Christendom after COVID, how we have, I guess, in a big way, in certain, you know, if I really generalize it, because it's true both ways. There's the side where COVID did so much in terms of some people becoming really radical for Jesus and doing incredible stuff. But then you have the other side where people's choices have allowed them to draw back from the mission of God in this world. Not pursuing God's purpose and plan, but almost becoming inwardly focused. And, you know, me and my house, I just need to make sure this is fine. But missing out on what God wants to do in the greater. You see, God pronounces blessing over us, but when I choose the wrong thing, it can lead me to the wrong place. You know, and sometimes it's not the big decision, is it? It's the small one that trips me up. You know, and I think it's when I sit alone with God and I think of my relationship with Him and my intimacy with Him, I guess I have to look at what choices have I made. Am I as passionate about Him as I used to be? Has things that has happened in my life caused me to just back off that little, not be as passionate as I used to be? I think we all can say that, you know, as we get older, there's so much more to worry about. I just look at my boys. I'm still waiting for them to start worrying. You know, it's like we worry. They're not there yet. But for us that are older and the things of life and the responsibilities and stuff so often can cloud our passion for God and maybe hinder us from even just walking with Him. Jeremiah 17 verse 5 says this. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. And verse 7, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. And if I read that trust, I have to hear the Amplified, who trust in, rely in. What does it say? That's the Obdainani. In any case, go read the Amplified, but it's trusting and relying, and you're putting everything into God, but not leaning on our own understanding. You know, and when we look at this world, saints, we should not look to our own strength, to our own understanding or our human wisdom, regardless of what work we do, but completely rely in God, allowing Him to speak to us, instruct us, and teach us, so that we will walk in it. You know, I find the scripture quite interesting. Verse 5, that it says, if you trust in human strength and wisdom, you are cursed. So if I choose to follow the things, my own wisdom and strength and so on, I'm definitely not blessed. And I don't know about you, but you know, it's so easy kind of to, you know, when you want to make a decision or think about something, to just kind of go with it and run with it and think it through and come up with a plan and execute it and so on. And then it's not blessed, and then I want to blame the Lord, and I'm like, why is this not blessed? But it's because I did not pray it through. My trust shifted from God's strength to my own strength, in that then I'm now relying on my own wisdom. Yes, and I'm so grateful that God has blessed us with brains. You know, that we have the capacity to think, but if I think about the potter's wheel, and if I think about surrender, it's me on that wheel just continually yielding to God, saying, Father, whatever this is, just have your way in this. Just form the spot into what you want it to be. I don't want to rebel against you. I don't want to stand against you. I don't want to do what Israel did and miss the blessing that you have. End up in captivity and stuff and not walking in the blessing of God that you have for me. I think there's one guy that we can look at in Scripture that faced a call that God spoke to and said, hey, listen, I've got a plan for your life. Let's go. And his response determined a lot, really a lot. If we go to Genesis 12, we read about a guy called Abram, living with his father. The chapter 11 is, you know, just was Babel, and God just kind of just messed up and sent the people everywhere and so on. And he's living with his father, Terah, if I remember correctly. In his father's house. And the context of where he's living was a pagan place, and there was idol worship, and it was not a good place, but it was home. This is where he stayed. This is where he grew up. This is, you know, okay, his dad moved at some point, but there was things that were, you know, this was his place. Let's read this. He said, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family. So if I understand this correctly, it's like, it's just you, my man. It's you and me. We're going on a journey. No one else is coming along. Go to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be blessed, will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. Abram was 75 when the word of the Lord came to him, which means his roots were quite well established in where he was at. And you know, like many of us sitting here this morning, you know, some of you have stayed in the same home your entire life. I don't have that privilege, but or the community that you're in, that is your community. You are safe, you are so well established. It's just, it's your lack of placement. When you go home, it's home. You've been there for years. And this was Abram. He was with his father, his family. This is a good spot for him to be. And then God says, listen, leave. Lorette and I faced that call, 28 years ago. When a dream, God said to me, leave Potchefstroom and go to Cape Town. When we arrived here, we had no family, no friends, nothing. Nobody to welcome us, nobody to say, hey. We had a fair long family, friend from family, whatever, that kind of tried to show us Cape Town. Interesting fellow, in any case. But we knew nothing. We were even, when we got on the airport the day we came down, we took a taxi and we had to get from the airport to Paro. I tell you, that guy drove, I don't know how many, it was close to 100 kilometers. Because what would I know? This is straight up from there. Now I know. It's like straight up. And we obeyed. God said, go, we went. And this is Abram here. And God says, leave everything. But then the promises, come on, the promises. He says, I will bless you. I will bless you and make you famous. But that's not all. You will be a blessing to others. And if someone blesses you, you say, I will someone bless them too. But when they curse you, when they treat you badly, good luck for them. Is that not the inheritance that we have in Christ? That we are those that are blessed by God. But he had to leave everything behind. We know Lot went with him. But he had to leave everything behind. Everything that is familiar. Where he was formed, where he grew up. Everything. And I can just put myself in his feet. But if I read scripture, nowhere in scripture does it say following God is necessarily going to be easy. And maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe there's prophetic words in your life that causes you and challenges you and maybe even challenges your reality. And stepping into that is going to cost you something. The promises of God is not cheap. The promises of God for us doesn't come just easy. Because I've learned when I stepped into the promises of God, it often leads me to a place where I cannot say that I have accomplished this, but God has done it. So for me and you, if you've doubted the call of God on your life, I want to say to you that the call of God on your life is great. The plans that God has for you is amazing. You know, if you don't have any prophetic words or dreams or visions that you can go back to, I can tell you just going to scripture and read scripture and what scripture says about you and God's plans for you, that is enough already. That is an amazing start. But you see, it's when things go wobbly on that potter's wheel that we doubt these things that God has placed for us, planned for us. But I have to surrender. But stepping into the things of God for us means that I need to leave. I need to leave behind what is familiar to me, what I was comfortable with, the way of doing that I used to do. And God is calling me to do things a bit differently, to step out. Maybe you have to leave your father's house. I tell you, when we got here in Cape Town, I can tell you one thing though, the culture between Potch, Joburg side, and Cape Town is not the same thing. Die Kaapenaars is weird, ou. You know, Joburg, you can just arrive at someone's home and it's like they invite you in for coffee and then you're somewhere braai because you are there. In Cape Town, if you pitch at someone's home, they're like, so what are you doing here? All the ex-Valies, can you testify?
Amen.
So we've just decided we're moving down all the Valies now. This is a whole hostile takeover. What's hierdie gesigte? No, we're not. I was just saying, after 28 years, I'm also, what are you doing here? Shall I repent? You see, when Abram left his father's house, he left behind an idolic culture and had to pursue the one God. He had to put everything, all his trust and everything in the God that spoke to him. And that is true for you and me as well. There should be no other voice in our heads except God. There should be no other voice that determines my future, my next step, my direction, than the voice of God. You know what? And if I have to be honest, then I think there's places where I have tried to figure it out on my own. And where I have to come back to that place where it's only His voice. And not allowing the other voices to speak to me. Just think of it. If Abram never left his father's house, he would have never got to the land that God has called him to. His name will never have been changed. The promises of God will never have been established. And if that didn't happen, then you and I would not be here. Because we are a direct result of his obedience at that point to leave. And that puts me in a place where I'm thinking, if I don't obey my father's, what's the impact? What, if I don't obey his voice, his instruction to my life, what is the impact down the generations? But when the potter is busy working in my life, I need to leave something behind to step into what he has prepared for us. We need to come to Jesus. When I rebel against the plan and the will of God, when it looks too big or too great for me, or it doesn't seem like it's working out now, and I don't engage that in faith, that decision might lead me to a place where there's destruction, where I might miss completely what God has called for us. And saints, we are sitting here this morning. We are those called by God for a time such as this. And I guess the one thing that we cannot not do is not surrender fully to God's will, His plan, and His instruction. To have hearts, I mean, Joanna spoke about it this morning in our prayer, just to have hearts that is so after God, so after His plan, because He's gone before us and He's prepared a place. He's waiting for us. And we need to fight the fight of our faith to the end. There's no giving up. So if you are thinking of giving up, I want to say to you, no. We will not let you give up. Look, you can run. I'll send the fast guys behind you. And then I'll arrive. But stepping out into God's promises starts with one simple thing. Surrender. I need to surrender. I need to put it all on the table. I cannot surrender 80% and hope for the best result. It's 100% surrender. Just like marriage is 100% give, it's not a 50-50 give and take. It's 100% give and give and give and give. Because that is the covenant. That is what we call to. It's an unconditional, sacrificial love in marriage that just keeps on giving and it's not dependent on the other person's response. So when I surrender to God, I'm surrendering and surrendering and surrendering and 100% surrender and let Him do with His life whatever He wants to do. And if he didn't like what he's formed now and he wants to slap me back onto that wheel, then that's fine with me. I know. But when I surrender to his plan or his way of doing, it means that I need to trust him. Fully. With everything that is in me. You and I are a result of one man's willingness to surrender to God's plan. What will be the result of your surrender? What will the impact be of your surrender? Because may I remind us Christians here this morning that your life is not about you and your success and your blessing only. Your life is actually about the purposes of God unfolding. What lives will be touched? What lives will be touched because you surrender to the potter's working in your life? No longer saying no, but saying, I surrender, I give you everything. What lives will be saved? What lives will be changed? What lives will be completely transformed because you and I just surrender? And the saints, I want to say to us as Shofar Brockenfell, and then I'm speaking to myself here this morning, but what we did yesterday is not good enough any longer. There's a call of God for deeper, intimate relationship with him. We need to renew. We need to allow God to renew who we are in him fully, so that you and I can walk in this more boldly with the power of God. I mean, we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And if you and I just let him loose in our lives, what will happen? This church is not about a meeting on a Wednesday and a Thursday. This is about the kingdom of God. This gathering is so that we can enthuse one another and help one another and dig into God's word on Wednesdays or whatever. So that what? So we can accomplish his wills and his plan for our lives. How will this world be impacted if we surrender more fully? You know, and I think there's a place where you have to sit with your own thoughts before God and evaluate your walk with him. And where have you become lukewarm? And where are you on fire? And if there's lukewarmness, then let's deal with that stuff. You know, that's that where Scripture says that I need to go to my brother and repent and say, Lord, forgive me for being lukewarm, for not being on fire for you. You saved this life. You paid the full price for this life. I cannot just give you 70% or 50 or 40. I'm all in. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I pray that your hearts will be stirred again with a fervor to seek the very presence of God, because when you and I seek him together, everything changes. The potential of your life is directly related to your willingness to surrender to the Spirit of God. Shall I read that again? The potential of your life is directly related to your willingness to surrender to the Spirit of God. And I want to add daily. Daily. There are some people in this room that I know once you start walking by the Spirit, this world's not going to be the same, and that includes me. When we start walking by the power of the Spirit of God, this cannot stay the same. But I just need to surrender. I need to surrender fully. So if you think, and Nicole, maybe you can minister with us as I close this. But my final question is, what will you leave behind today if you step into the promises of God? What are you walking away from? What are you laying down? What are you surrendering? You know, my title of slide was Renew Surrender. I need to renew, allow God to renew even that in me. But I need to surrender. I need to surrender. It's that place where I let go of how I think it should work. How I think this should look like. I need to surrender even the people that I think should be in my life. Because the very people that God has even placed in and around you are those that need to speak into your life. Yes, some of them will challenge you. And I'm sorry for that. But welcome to church. Something about iron sharpens iron, right? I've got a bunch of elders and they sharpen me. I've got a wife. Caramba. My boy sharpened me. You sharpened me. And I'm grateful for that. But this morning I pray that we will surrender everything. What will you leave behind to step into the promises of God for you? What will you leave behind? What are you walking away? Can we stand and then I'm going to close for us and pray.